broadcasting from the UNMC College of Nursing. Get ready for RN Huddle, the podcast dedicated to bringing hot topics for and by nurses to the table.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to RN Huddle. This is your host, Heidi Keeler, coming to you from Omaha, Nebraska, UNMC College of Nursing, and we have an absolutely amazing show for you today. We wanted to talk nursing workforce and academic development, and so who best to bring into RN Huddle but our interim chancellor, Dr. Deli Davies, who has been at UNMC for many years and is well aware of workforce issues and is going to talk to us about his thoughts on this issue. So welcome to the podcast, Dr. Davies.
Thank you, Dr. Keeler. Delighted to be with you.
So Dr. Davies, our audience is primarily nurses, and so not all of our audience is familiar with who you are and what you do. So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about you and how you got to your position?
So I'm a pediatrician, specialize in infectious diseases, and I have been fortunate to have had quite a variety of experiences in my career. I trained in Toronto as a physician, and then I got my degree in pediatrics at the Hospital for Sick Children, which is actually quite relevant in terms of my comments about nursing later. And then I trained in infectious diseases, so I specialize working with other physicians and helping to solve problems that related to infections in children. And then I did some research training, stayed on in Toronto for a year, and actually during that time I also did I had the wonderful experience of working as a locum tenens, which is like replacing a physician who was in private practice and working on in their practice for 6 months, which again gave me a very different view of how nurses in the community are quite different in terms of what they do. And then I also have had the opportunity to serve in India as a volunteer pediatrician for 3 months. And so again, I was able to get a sense of what nurses in India do in relation to what the nurses here in the United States and North America do. So since then, I've been in Calgary, where I was working in different capacities as a pediatrician, infectious diseases physician, and a researcher. I've been at Michigan State, where I was chairman of pediatrics, and again, still clinically active while I was out there. And now I've been here for 12 years, serving as vice chancellor, senior vice chancellor, now interim chancellor. However, I've continued to see patients and continue to have a great interaction with nurses.
Thank you for letting us know your background. And, you know, you just mentioned that you have thoughts about nurses based on your experience. What do you think about the relationship between nurses and physicians?
So I can talk about, you know, my broad experiences. In general, I think that nurses and physicians have a very good relationship. And I can tell you about my own experience just with different opportunities I've had to work with nurses. So working in Toronto, the Hospital for Sick Children that I worked in is a very highly acute tertiary care center, one of the most, I guess, prominent hospitals for children in the world. And one of the things that I found was that the nurses were highly specialized. Tremendous amount of what I learned as a pediatrics resident from the nurses. I remember going to the ICU or the pediatric ICU or the NICU, and the nurses were there, like, you know, doing all kinds of procedures and, you know, reading EKGs and just incredible, incredibly active, and had their own, basically their own lane. And so I learned very quickly that they, you know, I had very quickly my own sense of respect for, you know, just nurses as their own, being their own professionals with their own set of competencies and things they took bring to the bedside. And then when I did my locum tenens, which was one, you'll find this interesting, I was, I went on rounds for the first time in the local hospital. And as I got up, a nurse got up and wanted to follow me. And I was very confused. And I said, is something wrong? She says, no, we just want to come around and make sure that everything is fine and help you along the way. And I was totally confused because I never had that experience, you know, when I was a sick kid, because the nurses just, you know, they were busy in their own right. And not to say that the community nurses were not busy, but they were just had a different, they were helping in a different way. And again, I very much appreciated that opportunity to round with the nurses. When I was there, they were there to support me in my rounds, and I developed a very close relationship with them. And then, of course, in the outpatient setting, as an infectious diseases doctor, we have nurses who, that's all they do. They work with us in the infectious diseases clinic. And so they're specialized. They've been there for years, know a ton of stuff about infectious diseases. And I found that they are incredibly wonderful and great allies. So just one final thing I want to mention is, having been here at the University of Nebraska Medical Center, where we have a team that helps basically prepare the country for highly lethal diseases such as Ebola and COVID. And I've been privileged to be part of that team, training with them. I'm part of the team that would help to respond if we were to get pediatric patients that come here with a highly lethal condition. A big portion of our team are nurses. And one of the things that we very appreciate about each other is we all have to stay in our lane and fully respect one another for the roles that we bring to the table, because the nurses, you know, they know a lot more about what goes on in the room, the bedside, than I do. And, you know, we're co-equal partners on this journey.
I would agree with you from the nursing perspective. We always went on rounds during rounds because we were with the patients and we knew when the patients were telling you things that were accurate, and we knew when patients were telling you things that, you know, would be misleading or make different clinical decisions about their care. And, you know, when you talk about infectious diseases and your relationships with those nurses, we've had some of our infectious disease nurses on RN Huddle in the past. And, you know, you can just imagine how, with something so high stakes, how having a good team relationship would be so important. But Dr. Davies, thinking of infectious diseases and our bout with COVID and our international pandemic, as you know, and our listeners know, nursing has suffered a great hit in the way of workforce strength. And for those nurses that are still practicing, trying to recover from burnout, long-term burnout to chronic burnout. So when you think about this in your position, what do you think of in the way of solutions? What's your vision for addressing the current state of the nursing workforce?
Well, we do have a crisis. We know that, for example, in Nebraska, which is where we both live, there's a prediction that we're going to have more than 5,000 nurses that are needed by 2025 compared to where we are today. We know that 73 of the 93 counties in the state of Nebraska do not have the same ratios as you would find elsewhere in the country on average of nurses to patients. We also know that there's some counties, you know, almost, you know, nine counties where they actually zero registered nurses. So clearly, this is a problem, not just for us, but I think this is a microcosm of what's going on in the rest of the country. Now, you mentioned COVID. Yes, COVID was a great aggravant to this because clearly nurses were at the forefront, and they were the ones who took a lot of the brunt of, I guess, the negativities that some patients brought to the hospitals, the emergency rooms, the clinics. And that led to, as you pointed out, incredible amount of stress and burnout. And I was, of course, just witnessing a lot of the deaths and the incredible trauma of patients who were there without family members was a huge burden, in particular to nurses. So where are we? We're right now in a situation where I think a lot of the healthcare systems are very aware of this problem. We as a university are very aware of this problem. There are two things that we need to do. One is, first of all, we have to acknowledge the incredible value and role of nurses, and make sure that we do everything to support the ones that we do have right now. Because sometimes we spend so much time thinking about how we get new people that we may tend to ignore the ones that we do have. And it, obviously, it's a lot more expensive to try and hire new nurses than to try and do everything we can to keep the ones that we do have. So I know, for example, here in Nebraska, our healthcare system, Nebraska Medicine, who's the main partner with us at UNMC, has gone to extreme lengths to really think about what it is that we can do to make sure that we're not, you know, we're not needing to hire traveling nurses. And traveling nurses, by the way, have an important role to play, and they played a very important role during COVID. On the other hand, I think, you know, just there's no better way to really make sure you have continuity and, you know, and you have great ongoing care than to have nurses who know the system, who've been there and are committed to staying there for a while. So the first important thing is thinking about how we make sure we do everything to provide the resources, the mental, emotional, physical, financial, and other things we need to do to support the nurses we have right now. To me, that's the paramount, most important foundation. Well, the second thing is, of course, we have to add new nurses, right? So there are two things we need to think about. We need to think about the pipeline, right? And we need to think about how we make sure that beyond all the stories of the burnouts and everything that we know is true and what happened during COVID, that we can change the narrative to the nurse, the pipeline, so that the students in middle school, the students in high school who are maybe thinking about a career and thinking about nursing and they've only heard about the burnout. But if we can show that we've created all these other ways of caring for nurses, and that this is truly a profession that we are gonna take care of those who are taking care of others, I believe that we'll have a great opportunity to attract the very best students into nursing. Nursing is a great profession. You know, I think, you know, the pay is actually as good as it's ever been. We have a lot of people who are choosing. So, you know, there was a time when people thought that nursing was something you did as an afterthought, but a lot of people are choosing nursing because that's where they see the opportunity to really help patients. So in Nebraska, we're working really hard to double our class sizes, or to at least make sure that we have twice a year enrollment so we can increase the number of opportunities for nurses to get here. We want to increase our pipeline and output of nursing and nurses across the state. We're opening a whole healthcare center in Kearney to try and, you know, have Kearney as a community about 3 hours away from Omaha, which is more rural. It's about 45,000-50,000 population. And so they tend to be a place where we can train some of our nursing students, and they tend to want to stay more in rural Nebraska, which is where a lot of our disparities in terms of nursing shortages occur. So I guess, in short, my response is we've got to take care of those we have right now, and we've got to do everything to recruit the very best to the profession.
Thank you for that. You know, there were a lot of things in what you just mentioned that deserve to be unpacked, but let's just go through a couple of them. First of all, you mentioned that we need to send out the message that nursing is valued. And it's been a struggle to demonstrate what the value of nursing is because of its highly relational nature and the difficult nature of capturing the overall impact of having nursing. So I think, to add to what you just said, that nursing needs to be part of the solution. And one way to do that is to encourage workforce research for nurses by nurses as well. So I think that's an important piece of the puzzle. And then you mentioned those that are choosing nursing, and that resonated with me because I am that person. I was advised to become a physician because I got good grades.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I want to do nursing because I saw it with some illnesses in my own family. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted that role. And so how can we market the value and the impact of the role in a way that is attractive?
You know, one of the things that I always say is it's about your personal experiences. You know, I've, you know, had family members in the hospital. I work in the hospital. And as I talk to patients, and, you know, either outpatient or inpatient, the number one determinant, maybe a bit more so in the inpatient, but certainly also true in the outpatient, the number one determinant of how a patient perceives their care is how they were treated by the bedside nurse. I know patients who have gone into nursing because of the care they received from a very kind, supportive, thoughtful, available bedside nurse. Now, one of the things that I will say is that, you know, nursing is really like it's like medicine in many ways in terms of their opportunities to be any kind of nurse you want to be. So I think we've got to also think through, as we're looking at the shortage, the shortages are more acute in certain areas. For example, we need more bedside nurses, no question about that. And part of the question there is, what do we do to make that, again, something that a lot of nurses want to do, because of the opportunity that people have, nurses have to do other things. You know, sometimes bedside nursing might be obviously where a lot of, sometimes the brunt of challenges come. And I think my solution to that is to think through what is it about what nurses do at the bedside that all this that can be done to reduce some of the stress and anxiety, maybe have some other components of that that are done by others that don't need to be done by the nurse, so that actually there can be excitement can be brought back for certain nurses who find it to be stressful.
I'm sure the entire audience would agree. Charting. Charting will take you away from your patients. And I know as
That's
a
true.
physician, you know that.
Absolutely.
I want to address what you said about critical shortages of the workforce in different areas, particularly bedside nurses. About a year or so ago, we invited one of the premier nursing workforce leaders to speak at UNMC, Peter Bierhaus. And any nurse that's done any kind of research has seen Peter's name. He is famous for his work. And one of the things that was disturbing to me is that he mentioned that the nursing workforce number-wise has recovered completely since COVID. However, the untold story is that we may have the same amount of nurses, but they all left bedside nursing to do something else. And so, hearing your solutions about how to retain and attract back those nurses is preeminent, I think.
And of course, Peter Bierhaus is famous, and I don't know him personally, but I certainly have seen his work, and I know that he's doing great work. One of the things that I would say is that we have to think about how we embrace technology in ways that can help us. One of the things that I found really personally disturbing, and I know that we had to do this during COVID, was that separation of family members from patients during COVID. That led to an incredible amount of, obviously grief and pain to the suffering that a lot of those patients were already having. And it had to be done because we have to protect all the family members. But it does raise the question about what we can do with technology. Artificial intelligence is now mainstream. And I think that we've got to think about how we can tap into AI to do a lot of the things that right now you talked about charting, for example. There's some really unique solutions that I think 5 to 10 years from now are going to really revolutionize how we chart and how we do things and maybe remove some of those burdens from bedside nursing. Of course, there are things we have to overcome, in terms of HIPAA. I mean, what if you walked into the room and you talked to the nurse and you're supposed to chart? And, a lot of that can be automated through AI in ways that could really reduce the amount of time the nurses have to spend doing that. I think they can get to what they really enjoy doing, because that's where you go to nursing school, to help patients, not to sit in front of a computer and chart. And so I think there's a lot we need to do about how we can tap into technology in a meaningful way. And I think, those solutions are on the way already.
I'm going to say for our listeners that there is a debate in nursing right now about AI and the fear that the AI will replace the humanity that is the cornerstone of the nursing practice. And so I think this goes back to our first conversation and points about nursing school and how getting folks into nursing school, having them become involved in the workforce solutions from the beginning. And then instituting ways to improve retention through active engagement in the solution finding.
So, I agree that AI, just like the internet was obviously a revolutionary change in terms of how we do business compared to before the internet. And the internet's been able to transform a lot of the way we do things in a positive way, but it also brought a lot of dark side as well. And I think AI is going to be the same. Yes, clearly there'll be the downside of AI to be used for misinformation, disinformation is going to be something that a lot of people are going to look at negatively. On the other hand, AI, I think, will also actually will surprisingly bring more humanity in some ways than people think. Because, if you can have something that, for example, those family members who could not go in there and be with loved ones, during COVID, there are examples around the world now where you could actually test robots. And I know this sounds crazy, but they're not really robots that we were thinking about these, but they're very humanized. They actually provide a level of comfort to family members. It's not ideal, but it's better than the alternative. And actually, the ability to generate emotions and to be empathic can be something that can actually be built in. Now, I would never advocate this over a human being. I'm talking about opportunities where having human beings do that is actually hard. You know, you think about the elderly, many of them are very lonely in nursing homes. This has been done. There was actually a robot that I remember that used to go visit nursing homes and go from room to room. And just it was something somebody thought would be fun. When that robot had a misfunction, a malfunction, then the elderly, they were actually very upset that the robot did not come because they missed the robot. So I'm just saying that, you know, yes, it would be nice to have human beings all the time. That's the ideal. But there will be opportunities where AI will actually help.
And I think one huge takeaway is that this is an exciting new development and innovation, and that nurses need to be at the table to determine what are the downsides and what are the advantages, and to make sure it is pushed in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Dr. Davies, nursing school is hard. It is hard, hard work, very clinically intense. And so with everything that we've talked about and with all of the news and the different messages that are coming through to nurses or potential nurses or those that are in school right now, what encouragement or advice can you provide that will provide incentive and strength for those that are on their nursing journey?
When you think about your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your aunt, your loved one, your friend, and think about the scenario, maybe some of you have already experienced this, where they were in a hospital, they were harmed, or they were in a situation where they needed somebody to care for them. Who would you rather have caring for them? And I ask that you look in the mirror and say that, think about what you bring to the table, you know, how you can really make a difference. There's nobody who's going to make more of a difference in the lives of those people who need care than nurses. I'm speaking as a physician. I know I play an important role, but I'm not at the bedside. I'm not the one who's sort of the minute-to-minute go-to person. And I can tell you that if I have a loved one, I'm hoping and looking forward to having somebody who's caring, compassionate, loving, taking care of my loved one. And I really think that for those of you who are thinking about a profession where you can actually impact lives and make a difference and have people who maybe are despondent and wondering whether, you know, things going to work out for them, you can make a huge difference. So I really think that that's where I see how nurses fit. And beyond that, actually, nursing has become such a, you know, there's so many opportunities now. You know, we have nurse practitioners who can practice independently if you want to do something like that. One of the beautiful things about nursing now is you don't have to stay in the same place forever, right? There are lots of opportunities to change and do something different, you know, as your career goes on. So you don't have to think in terms of unidimensional, I'm stuck in this quote unquote role that I may not enjoy. I guarantee that once you get into the nursing profession, there'll be something that you'll enjoy doing.
Well, I don't think that I could think of much more motivating things to say. I think it is really getting back to the heart of why people choose nursing. It takes a special type of person, and this kind of work really, for the most part, fills their bucket, increases resiliency. It's only when we allow the environment to take those things away do we have problems. So thank you so much, Dr. Davies, for discussing nursing workforce with us today. I know our listeners have learned a lot and have gained some insight into what you've just said. And so we definitely thank you and hope that you'll come back to talk to us again on RN Huddle.
You're very welcome. And it's a great pleasure and honor to speak with you.
Well, that's it for this episode of RN Huddle. Thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in today. We talked to Dr. Davies here, Interim Chancellor at UNMC, and he provided a lot of great insights on nursing workforce and in ways that we can think about improving the nursing workforce, and then some nice words of encouragement. So hopefully you enjoyed the episode today, and we definitely hope that you will tune in to the next episode of RN Huddle. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to RN Huddle. To stay connected, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at UNMCCNE or check out unmc.edu/CNE for more program information.